All right, we'll go ahead and get rolling here. I appreciate everybody dealing with the weather today. I know it's not the most perfect scenario, but thank you for coming today, and we'll get through this okay. I want to call to order the annual meeting for 2024 for Lake Elbow Club. If you would please stand as we present the colors.
Lord, our attention. Lord, our four hearts. Close the colors. Okay, please join me and then pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pledge our return to post. Learn about this. Like our hall, color guard dismissed. The audience may be seated.
Thank you, guys. And that's Troop 284 here in Manhattan. So appreciate your guys' support today. All right, we're all something missing. Here he comes. All right, so I just want to take a quick minute as we get started here to recognize a few members that we lost over 2023. First one, Jan Harrell. Most of you that have been here very long know Jan. For many years, this is always a tough one for me. Many years, the backbone, what I'd call the backbone of Lake Elbow. She was a tough gal, and we're going to miss her. Served a lot of years on the board with her, which was truly an honor. As I got to know Jan more and more, she was we considered a backboard, kept us in line and kept us on the rails. A value that we definitely cherish and miss. So want to recognize Jan today. Also want to recognize Ira Haynes. I believe he probably spent most of his life out here. Considering a true Elbonian, probably one of the most generous people I've met. Loved people, loved kids, opened his house up to everybody for all kinds of events, Christmas parties, New Year's Eve parties, many Sundays spent out on the back porch. Sundays were his Saturdays. He didn't usually work Mondays. So we miss Ira, and we'll see him soon. And then Wilma Brooks. I think pretty much was a lifetime Elbonian. she spent most of her life right out here on Lake Elbow Road or in this immediate area. I've known Wilma for years since I've been here. Always enjoyed her conversations. Did have the honor of attending her funeral there a couple weeks ago. Learned a couple things about her. I didn't realize she's quite the prankster. I got to hear a little bit about that. That was kind of funny. And also, she was an author. She'd written an autobiography on her life through the Depression. It was another kind of an interesting thing. I came home that day, and I seen the entry board sign, rest in peace, Wilma, Elbow legend. And I think that was pretty fitting. I was trying to figure out, just what I'd say today. And I kind of thought maybe dubbing her the Queen of Lake Elbow, because she was definitely that. She served on a lot of things. She did. She was our grand marshal for the golf cart parades on the 4th of July, and we're going to miss her. So thank you, Wilma. And did just actually receive a nice donation today from her memorial fund. So we'll work through that and the details and probably have more on that to follow after the next board meeting. So with that, Lori Moser, or I guess Jim, you're going to cover.
Yep.
If you would, Jim, please cover the minutes from our 2023 annual meeting.
Lake Elbow annual meeting, Sunday, January 29th, 2023. In attendance, Dave Spinagle, Joel Force, Brett McEman, Jim Lund, Harold Brooks, Rita Taylor, Karen Van Vliet, and RJ Whitlock. Meeting was called order by President Dave Spinago at 1 p.m. Members from Boy Scout Troop 284 presented the flag and led the Pledge of Allegiance. Dave Spinago took a moment to remember members we lost in 2022, Tony Eckert and Kendrick Waite. Jim Lund read the minutes from the 2022 annual meeting. Brent McKeeman motioned to approve the minutes as amended. Rita Taylor seconded. Minutes approved. Brent McKeeman presented the Treasurer's Report for 2023. Brent covered a lot of good information. Dave Spinago asked for a motion to file the Treasurer's Report for audit. Rita Taylor made a motion. Karen Van Fleet seconded. Motion carried. Dave asked Brent to go over the 2022 accomplishments. Clean up all delinquent past dues, roll over less than half a percent due in 2023, paid off the note on the Dino 6 dredge, paid down to half of the remaining dredge note at Commerce Bank, cleaned up north dredge pond area level, seeded and groomed the area, set up to receive payment at Venmo and credit cards, rent on July 4th, set up a credit line with Commerce Bank, $160,000. The current balance was $0. New equipment purchased, sold off old equipment, sold the backhoe and tractor, purchased a new tractor. Clubhouse septic system was fixed. Leonard Backhoe was able to find the issue and repaired it. Had a successful dam inspection. Dam got a good inspection. Reviewed, renewed the process of the covenants. Thank the board members for working on this. Dave Spinago covered the 2023 focus areas, the covenant renewal, covered the progress, and thanked the group for working on it. Continued water testing. Water will continue monitoring and testing. Improvements and maintenance. The dam outlet tube will get it worked on over this next year. Rules and bylaw review. The board will work on updating. Plan for further road and dam improvements. Briefly spoke about the improvements. Shop and compare insurance. Spent a lot of time this year reviewing this. We should shop around to see if there is a better opportunity. Spoke briefly about the July 4th, the 4th of July 75th anniversary celebration. We will form subcommittees and make plans. Dam inspection detail for future improvements and maintenance. The state has changed how they classify dams. Inspection came back positive. May have some stuff to do. Submitted the report to the state. Outlet tube needs some maintenance, maybe this year. Spoke about some changes that we might need on the spillway. Covenant renewal overview. Dave Spinago and Karen Van Fleet spoke in details on this. Attempted to get enough signatures. Might need a few more. Consideration on clubhouse improvement expansion. Dave Spinago provided details of thoughts to expand the clubhouse. Rita Taylor spoke in detail about this. Dave Spinago asked the membership if they had interest. We placed a survey on the new membership ballot. Dave Spinago brought up three board members have terms coming up: Joel Forrest, Jim Lund, Harold Brooks. Dave Spinago opened the floor for nominations. Shannon Yearley nominated Mark Yearley. Harold Brooks nominated Randy Lau. Brent McKeeman nominated Jim Lund. Dave Spinago nominated Lynn Schroll. Dave Spinago nominated Robert Reagan. Dave asked for a motion to close. Jim Lund motion. RJ seconded. Dave Spinago asked that we take a 10-minute break for voting. Dave Spinago reopened the meeting after the break. Dave Spinago introduced the three new board members: Mark Yeardley, Randy Lau as vice president, Jim Lund as secretary. Dave Spinago announced the interest in the expansion of the clubhouse, 33 yes votes, 7 no votes. Dave Spinago asked for a motion to adjourn. Brent McKean in motion, Rita Taylor seconded, motion adjourned. Any corrections?
That's all. Okay. I have a motion to approve the minutes as read.
Motion to approve.
Second. Okay. All right. And if we could, real quick, just a little house. You guys could make sure you sign up your phones just so we aren't having any interruptions on that. I forgot to mention that at the beginning. Brent, would you please cover the Treasurer's Report for us?
All right. Please see the balance sheet. Bank accounts. Our checking account has $24,695. We have a new this year checking account, the Clubhouse Edition Fund, $6,962. a lake dredge fund, $15,085. The memorial account, that is a savings account, $2,522. The money market road fund, $129,073. Total in bank accounts at Commerce Bank, $178,339. Our accumulated depreciation was adjusted by the CPA. That's that -452 number. Caretaker house, clubhouse, storage buildings, those numbers have been consistent for years. They're probably undervalued, as you can see. The total buildings, $176,914. Machinery and equipment, $118,338. There's a number of other improvements like the clubhouse, spillway, and land. Total land, $57,372. Total fixed assets, $76,961. Total assets, $255,301. Still on the balance sheet, second page. We're now in the credit card. We're in the liabilities. Credit cards, 197. Long-term liabilities, the 2014 dredge note, $27,018. Total liabilities, $27,216. Total equity, $228,084. The profit and loss comparison, this is for the whole year, January through December. This is the income side, assessments, $9,631. Vote registrations, 120. Building permits, 6,584. I structured the donations a little different than previously. They were kind of lumped together, and I basically broke them out to kind of see individually what it is. So anyway, donations, 4th of July donation bucket, what we received at the entryway, $3,100. You can see the other bucket palm, for example, $640. Chili cook-off, 401, clubhouse. Okay. These clubhouse expansion funds are included in this total donations. And as you saw on the balance sheet, are segregated from our regular checking, but they show up here on this P&L. So anyway, clubhouse expansion donations, $1,887. The raffle to date has brought $3,300 in. I think there's a little bit more to come. And it showed what we picked up with Venmo, the fishing derby, donations by letters, what we got from that, flamingo race. We did other things like the lake day, the jet skiing, 255. There was a summer kickoff party that was then donated towards the clubhouse expansion, 250. So total donations for 2023, $14,853. Dues, $109,503. Equipment sales, that $133 was actually scrap metal that was sold. Interest income, $1,044. Another number of other smaller amounts. Merchandise sales, $6,382. That's the t-shirts, the cups, everything related to 4th of July, our 75th. I think that was a huge success. Caretaker home rental, $8,950. Clubhouse, $3,000. Make sure I'm on the right line. $3,510. Parking spot at the maintenance shop, $341. Total income, 2023, $161,883. Yes.
What about the turkey? Do you have anything on your shirt?
I
I apologize if I didn't get it.
It's rolled into the clubhouse expansion.
Yes.
I'll bet.
Yes.
$950.
It was over $1,000. Yeah, it was a large amount. Apologies if I missed that one. I didn't get it. I've tried to detail out in QuickBooks more than we've done in the past, and I might not have caught everything. Okay, total income, expenses. 4th of July, $5,411. Automobile expense, $5,941. That's primarily the dump truck. Fuel, $754. Registration, $320. Total automobile expenses, $7,016. Bank service charge, $612. $400 of that is the renewal of the line of credit. Caretaker home, a small amount. Clubhouse maintenance and cleaning and house cleaning, the total is $2,759. The majority of the maintenance, clubhouse total was $3,805. Clubhouse maintenance catches everything from the work done at Flagpole to the sand to the beach to the new faucet to the garbage disposal to seed or ice melt. It's a catch-all. All right. Community improvement. You might notice that there's a significant difference between last year and this year. 15,000. That's where we put all that dirt work that was done on the base of the spillway, the still pond area. Dam repair and maintenance, $3,248. That's primarily the work done around the outlet tube. The Byers did to great success to protect the footing for outlet tube. Depreciation expense, $2,176. You'll see the dredge boat expenses, fuel, $142, labor, $3,612, parts, supplies, $685. Total dredge boat expense, $4,440. I'd asked the board at one point in a previous meeting to do a $5,000 cap on dredge expenses, and we came in under that. I also have, on events, have tried to break it up. Previously, we used to lump them into events and office supplies, all one catch-all. I've tried to break it out to a greater degree. And so the chili cook-off, to Christmas brunch, to fishing derby, to Halloween, to luau, summer kickoff, and turkey shoot are all included. Our total events cost, $2,065. Fireworks, $6,924. Insurance expense, $9,020. Interest expense, $1,726. Mowing, $5,600. Office supplies, $1,270. Postage and delivery, $353. Professional fees, $5,130. The largest part of that is our CPA that we pay about $250 per month for. We don't have, you can see there's a significant difference between this year and last year in professional fees. It was the attorney that we paid for so much last year that made that higher. Repairs and maintenance, $1,329. Road and gravel, $6,195. The largest part of road and gravel was over $3,500 or cold patch, over 18 tons that was applied. Shop maintenance, $6,110. Most of that is for the gravel and millings that was put down to around that shop area for parking. It does include some LED lights and other things. Small tools and equipment, $1,000. That would include things like the sprayer, I think, was the largest part of that, $600-some dollars. Property taxes paid in full, $692. Utilities, $5,795. Workday supplies, that includes meals for workdays and all the various things we bought for them, but $1,464. Total expenses, $85,813. Net operating income, $75,369. Net income is the same. I didn't print the third page because it's blank. So that is our net operating income for the year, $75,000.
Any questions? Do I have a motion to file the treasurer's report for audit?
I motion to file the treasurer's report for audit.
All right. So one thing I do want to call out on that, and thank Brent for his efforts there with our being the treasurer. There's a lot of work that goes into that, and we've come a long ways. One thing we did last year, in the past, we every year, and this is that everybody in here knows this, as we move forward and we have new board members and new people running the lake, we have an agreement that we voted on years ago, because of the two most important things in our community are the roads and the lake. Those are the two things that are going to, you know, at time require maintenance and are going to be the highest cost expense. So we've for several years now, every year from the dues and collections that we collect, we take 25% and apply it to a road fund, and we apply it 25% to a lake slash dredge fund. And that is so that when those times come, we have money set aside already to help do those projects. I mean, we've been doing that, I think, probably at least I can remember, probably 15 years at least that's been a thing. So one thing we did this year, because for several years, probably as long as I can remember, we would always wait until the end of the year and we'd figure out exactly how much money we took in. And then we would pay that in the next year as dues and assessments started rolling in, so that we didn't take our checking account down too low. We would always wait till the next year. Well, this year we actually did it in this calendar year. So in this year, we not only did 2023 or 2022's, and this is speaking to the road fund, because the dredge fund is typically paid for just by payments we make to the notes we have at the bank, usually covers that. But the road fund, we paid that early in the year for 2022. Later in the year, we paid 2023 in the same calendar year. So there was like another $25,000 to $30,000 that we paid into that fund. That's why you see that fund has jumped up from $65,000 to $129,000 in one year. So if you're looking at that and you see, you know, we brought in this much money, we spent less, that's where most of that extra money went. And I think it's a great thing that we were able to accomplish that. So hopefully going forward, we can always keep that in that calendar year. So that's just something I want to call out, and a big thanks to Brent and the board members for supporting that decision. So. All right, we'll move on. Next item I've got is the 2023 accomplishments. And Brent, since you're all warmed up, why don't you take care of that?
Sure. One of the things you'll have seen from the reports was the interest income, $1,044. You know, we've had CDs in the past and we'll have them again, but we've not had interest-bearing accounts, and now we do. And that's what they paid for just the money that we'd have sitting anyway. Of course, it doesn't keep up with inflation. But I'm very proud that we have money markets and savings accounts in place. Insurance, it's been a big project for the year. It's been a struggle to do. We now have better coverage than the lake has probably ever had. And by that, I mean we have an umbrella coverage in place that wasn't there last year. Last year, we did get the workers' comp in place and, of course, renewed this year. We continue to work on insurance as due diligence to get the best pricing, but we do feel like we have as good of an insurance coverage as we could possibly have. We have a line of credit at Commerce, $160,000. We didn't use it at all this past year, but it is available to us. I would have the board anticipate using it as a part of the construction project for the clubhouse expansion. It is just financial security. It's so that you don't, you're not caught in a bind. And the best thing to do with it is to not use it very often. 15th, we've created funds like the Lake Dredge Fund, and we funded them. We put $15,000 into the Lake Fund, in addition to paying over $30,000 on the note. So we've overfunded Lake this past year, and that's the right thing to do. I would prefer that we'd be using the liquidity to fund the projects that we have going on. I don't like a $0 fund. $129,000 in the road fund. We're on track for a big 2025 project, big growth project. Lots of work to be anticipated for that in this next year in advance of the project. $14,000 in donations. I would compliment the members. You know, you can see that last year, 2022, we had a good year, but with the additional and we had a good year for 4th of July this year, but we've also started this Clubhouse Edition Fund, and you can see a significant increase in total donations for 2023. Something that I think the board will be discussing in the coming months will be taking some of our liquidity in the road fund, like $100,000, and probably looking at a CD to mature just in advance of the actual 2025 project.
Good. I would touch on just real quick. You mentioned the umbrella, the insurance, and we did. We put a lot of effort into insurance. Really, the last 2 years, we've done a lot of research, and really what we're finding is the company that writes our insurance, not the company we buy the insurance through, but the underwriter that actually covers it. After talking to several different insurance agencies, I've been told that they are probably the best one to have, and that the price is as good as we're going to find anywhere. I've talked to multiple agents that literally just said they just didn't feel like they could do it, or they couldn't compete with it. So I think we're in a good place on insurance, and we're going to refocus our efforts there on some other stuff we'll talk about here in a minute. But covenants and bylaws, that was a big thing for those of you that were here last year, quite an undertaking. We did get those filed with the Register of Deeds. Those are done. I want to thank everybody for their help with that, not only board members, but the community at large, because it took all of us to get that done. We are good to go till 2048. So if you guys could all mark your calendars for 2048, we will need somebody at that time to remember to do that. So community events, we just continue to have great community events. And again, that's due to the membership. That's you guys in the audience. The board kind of helps schedule that stuff. But the people, I can tell you, the people that do most of the work and the hard lift and are the members that participate. And I want to thank you for that. Work days, we have successful work days. This year, a couple things we did also, we did update. We got new stop signs up at the Lake Elbow Road. We added some children playing signs. The adult playing signs are still on back order. Successful work days, like I mentioned, we did a lot of tree clearing in partnership with Blue Stem. You know, they always want to come out and cut on our trees. So we worked out, and thanks to Brent and Dean, a large part of that, worked it out with Blue Stem where they come out ahead of work day and they did a lot of cutting and clearing and that, and then we hauled a lot of that off over work day, but then in return, then they came back out and they cleared a lot of brush and are cutting up some trees and stuff for us that they probably wouldn't have normally done, and they're still working on that, so there's still more of that to come. Road day, so you can see a picture up here there. Road at the end of the spillway over there. When I saw that picture, I thought, boy, I forgot how bad it was. But again, big thanks to Brent and a few members that he pulled together on separate, what I'd call separate work days, where they spent some time out there working on the roads. And I think he said 18 tons of coal patch and millings and patching material, but have done a really good job patching up a lot of our potholes and getting a little extra mileage out of our roads. And did it at a very reasonable cost for the materials and the volunteer help and so on. Aye.
Special thanks to Mark for all the equipment.
Yes, absolutely. That was a big, deal.
Big deal. We had some big equipment that we got at the best possible price.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Thanks for mentioning that, Brandon. And those guys literally were out there on, I mean, it was the 100-degree days. I mean, it was hot. I did meet with Schilling this week briefly about possibly coming out and doing a ride around the lake and looking at a little deal, kind of a preliminary deal to give us an idea of what they would recommend for this project Brent was talking about for 2025. We want to do a little preliminary work, a little research, maybe get some ballpark estimates and get an idea what we need to plan for. I think the biggest part of it is going to be more or less cutting out sections of road where it's really just broke and fell apart and trying to get that replaced and get our roads back up to speed. But again, thanks to Brent, Mark, and everybody that helped with the road work that's been done. We put some edges during one of the work days. We did some shouldering work, which was long overdue. You know, we could continue. I mean, it would just never end. There's always something to do out here. Outlet tube, Brent mentioned, buyers did finish the construction or the riprap around that. There was a picture in the middle up there that showed how far out that pipe stuck. I mean, just from the erosion and the washout. We worked out a deal with the state to allow us to do it as a maintenance project without having to go through all their red tape and permits and everything, which worked out really well. Buyers was able to come out less than $4,000. They brought in all that rock and did all that work. And we were prepared to spend, I don't know, we talked one time, $15,000, $20,000 it could possibly cost us to do what we thought we were going to have to do. And again, Kelly, thanks to Kelly Briggs, saved the day. And got us taken care of there. We are looking at, we've already got planned for road work on the high road to get it back up to snuff, help with some of the drainage, put in some ditches. That's already been approved at the last board meeting. Buyers Construction will be out here probably in the spring. Once everything falls out a little bit, they're going to cut some ditches in. They're going to bring out some rock, and they're going to bring a road grader, shape that road up and put some rock on it. And get some of the drainage issues fixed. That's something we kind of continuously are working on all the time to try to improve that, because regardless, whatever's up there ends up down here. So outlet tube road work, water testing, big thanks to Tom Hood. And I think Brent's been a part of that too. And anybody else that was part of that is we're doing regular water testing, usually at least a couple times a year, typically during the summer. So far, the results have been great. No concerns, which, you know, we're glad to have out here. And then shed cleanup and improvements. Big thank you to Dean Van Vliet and other members. I believe there's quite a few people that helped with that. I know Brent Rohr was involved, Don Taylor, and several people. But we did designate Dean as kind of the shop manager, but he's done a ton of work up there, really cleaned up the place. I went up the other night to push snow, and I walked in the door and the lights came on, like, it scared me to death. But, you know, great job, Dean. Dean, do you want to speak to any of that, kind of list of some things that you've done, and so everybody knows?
Well, they asked me to keep it under an hour, so I just have to be a thing.
Lori,
and I had a lot of help from members. We organized just certain places for the equipment to be. So, and all the equipment right now is repaired, ready for use. All the service, everything been fixed. We added LED lights inside the shop, thanks to Jim and Brent. Jim knew how to rewire, so all we had to do was put bulbs. It saved us a lot of money.
And they work great.
Yeah, they are bright. So even us old people can see you guys. An area was cleaned out last summer of trees to be able to rent spaces for people's trailer up there. And I asked for help, and more than 20 people showed up. And I really appreciated that. And then the last thing I have, and I'll be done, is 90% of the equipment is ran by Howie. And I mean, he does a tremendous job. He does the moving of the snow. He does the burn pile. I mean, he does a lot out here. So, you know, anytime you see Howie, give him a big thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Dean, thank you. Dean's done an incredible job up there. I couldn't believe the place when I walked in there. So again, thank you. And there is another, I want to thank Jeff Pishney because the snow truck took it up there in the school. Thank Manhattan Area Tech College for the work they did. They got that truck runs better than it's ever ran. I can tell you that. It actually stays running now. And we do need to probably discuss maybe at our next board meeting. I don't know. We talked about doing a donation to the school, but I don't think we ever did. Oh, we did it. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, I can scratch that off my list. All right. Well, moving on.
One thing I'd like, yes. If you don't mind.
Absolutely.
The two guys that do an awful lot of thanking out here, I think we need to thank them. I know Brent's put everything from garbage disposals to, you know, keeping the beaches great. And Dave for is the president. And I've been there, and it ain't no fun. I think we ought to thank them both.
Thank you.
There's a lot of other people out here.
I don't think we'd run out of thank yous out here. It's what it takes. It's a community, and we're going to talk about that here in a little bit because there is some stuff that, you know, we're just different than anywhere else. Clubhouse Shelter Fund, Shelter House. I'm going to just start calling it the Shelter House Project because that's really what we're doing. Picture of it up here in the upper right. You know, this got kicked off actually a little over a year ago. And it was the whole thought was, you know, we need an outdoor area that gives us shelter from the weather, that we can do stuff outside. And if it starts raining, we don't have to panic and freak out. We've got this little awning out here, but you can't really cram too many people under there. And if you guys have ever been to very many events here, it's typically half of us are inside, half of us are outside. You know, we got our smokers, we got our rather be outside people. So it's, you know, there's twice a year that we outgrow this clubhouse. And one is the turkey shoot, thanks to Randy. And the other is today. You know, today we don't have quite as large a crowd, but you know, that's the 2 days a year that we really do outgrow this place, the clubhouse inside. Realistically, I think the outside area we're going to get a lot of use out of. So last year we had an 80% approval on the survey. So, you know, your voices have been heard. We're moving forward. There's a lot been done. There's a lot being done. That's not exactly what it'll probably look like, but that's the model we went after because we happened to see that picture. We really liked what it did, what it looked like. And so that's kind of what we've been targeted for. Currently, and I kind of tagged it the Sunset Shelter House. You ain't gonna be able to say that three times real fast, but it's gonna be the most amazing views for the sunset over here. And we could change that. I just threw that up there because I was being creative. But we set a goal of 60,000. And in our research, you know, we thought, wow, that's not even gonna come close. But we've continued to work with more contractors. We're talking to at least two right now, and actually have two more we have to contact. But we're back down to close to that number. We're going to do some electrical work. The people that are out here doing the WTC, which that's another thing I forgot to mention, WTC and bringing in the fiber, that's another huge project for our community, another benefit. You're going to bring options to us that we haven't had, faster internet, and just give us some additional options. But the people that are out here, JMI, that's doing a lot of the trench and boring for the fiber right now, has agreed they're going to help us put not only the fiber into the clubhouse, but they're going to push bore our electrical in at the same time. So prior to starting on this project, we've got two trees that are come out here. We've got new power line that's going to come into the clubhouse underground. It's going to come up right over here in this corner, and we'll have a brand new 200 amp service in this corner behind the TV. We'll backfeed the existing electrical, so we don't have to basically tear out anything else in the clubhouse. But we'll be able to clean up all that stuff. If you guys ever go out this back door and look up, there's big conduit and extension cords and stuff hanging everywhere. We're getting rid of all that. But we're going to have a brand new service come in, and they're helping us with that. They're even supplying the conduit or the tubing that has to be put in underground for the electrical wire to come in, and they had leftover. So great bunch of people. They're doing a great job out here so far. That are doing the fiber work. I know there's probably a few of you that have big piles of dirt in your yard. Trust me, before they leave, everything will be back to good. Grass will be seeded. Down below the dam, they're utilizing some space down there. It's been muddy. They've tore up. They'll fix it all like new before they leave. They're great people. So anyway, back on the shelter house. So far, we've raised $6,763, and I'll bet that number is even bigger after today. Big deal. In previous deals, the turkey shoot, Randy brought in a lot of money for the turkey shoot. We had a 50-50 drawing that night that went well. So those dollars are already in the bank. Current fundraising activities, we do have open currently donations, straight up donations. The lake set aside or earmarked $10,000 for matching funds. So if you donate just straight up, say, I want to donate $100 to the clubhouse deal, the shelter house, excuse me, the lake will match that $100. So far we've gotten in roughly $500 just off straight donations, maybe more, correct me if I'm wrong, Grant. We have a membership dues raffle. So we're going to draw for that today. Karen has...
still have tickets.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to buy a ticket from Karen, maybe still today at intermission here when we do the voting for board members, get with Karen and get one of those bots. We'll draw for it right after the intermission. $100 chance to earn or win your $1,100 membership dues for 2024. Again, I want to thank Dean and Karen and anybody else that helped with that. You guys did a phenomenal job with that activity. And then we have a new promo that's kicking off today, Buy a Brick. So part of our construction out here, when we build this shelter house, there'll be a gap between the slab for the shelter house and the existing sidewalk. Well, we're going to use pavers to fill that gap. We're going to have sidewalks to come off the sidewalk to the deal for most of the walking, but in between those spaces, we're going to fill it in with pavers. So we have the opportunity now where you can buy a brick and have your family's name put on it. We're going to cover that in a little more detail here in a minute. For $100, that's a great. I mean, I've been involved in similar fundraising activities, and usually the numbers are around 250. So that's a great way to leave your legacy at Lake Elbow. Upcoming fundraising events, and we are open to more of these. If people want to bring them forward, we just need the volunteers and the help to help support it and do it. But we've got a spaghetti feed that we're going to plan. We haven't got dates yet on it, that we'll do a spaghetti feed for the community. A spring kickoff, might be spring summer kickoff party that we're planning on with a hog roast and games like bucket pong, cornhole. There's several different things we've talked about doing, but it'll be a day long of activities, fun stuff, but also fundraising. And we'll close it out at the end of the day with a hog roast that's being done here locally by some of the members. And then our July 4th celebration that comes up every year, which this year we do have that scheduled for June 29th. So we'll be doing it the Saturday before July 4th. So more to come on that. But please, if you have ideas or stuff that you want to do, bring them to the board, bring them to a meeting. Let's talk about it. Let's help get you help to put it on, and let's get it scheduled. We had one of our newest members, I don't see him here today, but had mentioned maybe a garage sale. This was late fall, where maybe the proceeds or a portion of your proceeds would go back to the lake to help with the project. And great idea. It was just late in the year and we couldn't get it scheduled before the weather. So maybe we do something like that in spring, but we're open to anything. And if it's fun, that's even more important.
What would you shoot on them?
Here is the brick, buy a brick promo. Brent, are you okay? I want to let you cover this if you
will. I'm really pleased with how some of the marketing materials turned out, our logo and the pictures used. You can see an example of what the bricks will look like right there. I didn't necessarily want it to take checks for the bricks today. I wanted to focus on the invoice checks, give people time to figure out what they want their bricks to say. The order for that will be likely in the fall, some probably around October, when we combine everyone's orders and get it to come in. I'd encourage people to buy a brick this year, but it's something that we very much, if there's future members, future interest, I'd probably plan on once a year continuing to buy bricks. We've done some of the math on how many bricks, how many spots are available, and it seems like there's plenty of room to continue to expand. So just, a good, exciting thing for the lake. And I I've been really impressed by the lifetime warranty on the bricks. They say it does. You can see from the sample brick, it doesn't cut deeply. It really ought to last. And if they don't, they'll replace it. So anyway, plenty of time, but please think about what you want your bricks to say. I think it's 20 characters per line, three lines. Y'all look really good. We have on Facebook, we have shown where the location is. I think maybe Dave said it, but we're going to protect the bricks by having kind of sidewalk paths.
Sidewalk through the shelter.
So anyway, just a good way to offset costs of the addition by something that people would want anyway.
I got a quick question. So if I just did two lines, will they center those then in the brick? Okay. So right with that showing a three line example, a two line would be centered in the brick so that it looks correct. I do have another slide here. This basically is just a quick video to, and I was real impressed with this company because I'll let it go first. Oops, darn it. I knew I forgot something. Hang on. Sorry. People didn't call me. You brought this over just in case. Hopefully it works.
Welcome to our Buy a Brick campaign. Through the support of generous donors like you, we know we'll meet our goal. To do so, we're offering you the unique opportunity to buy your very own laser engraved brick and leave a lasting legacy of support for our club. Buy a brick in memory of a loved one. Buy a brick in honor of your family. Buy a brick to leave an important message for future generations. Whatever your reason, buying a brick will help to support our future endeavors and help to ensure we remain an important part of the community for years to come. Unlike other forms of donation, when you buy a brick, you become a visible part of our future, something that serves as a source of solidarity and inspiration for others. So please consider showing your support by buying a brick today and leave a lasting legacy for tomorrow.
So you can email lakeupboard@gmail.com or you can just reach out directly to Brent. Again, I was starting to say this company, I'm real impressed with it because they really bring the whole program, the marketing program, the order forms, the examples, sample bricks, the video. I mean, they just do the whole thing for us. So for no cost other than the cost of the bricks. So so far, I think it's and they're right out of Missouri. So if we have any issues, we are hard to track down. So thanks for your work on that, Brent. Karen, I did have on the fundraiser for Shelter House stuff on you is really just on the drawing. Was there anything you wanted to add to that on that raffle?
Okay. Just we do extra have tickets right now. It's your chances are 1 out of 35. So that's how many tickets we sold.
So again, $100 chance to win your $1,100 dues paid for 2024. All right. Rules, and I'm going to go to Karen and Lori on this next one. I have another piece to add that I added late in the agenda. I don't have a slide for the rules update. Are you prepared to talk about that today? I'll let you guys talk about that.
We've been working on, Lori's come in late, but the board has been working on the rules and regulations for the last year. 90% of the changes have been cleaning up the grammar, making sure everything's consistent, like a board member. One part would say board member, then the next person would say members, or so everything is cleaned up and it's consistent. We have a few key areas that we had questions on, so we did clean them up on the use of watercraft, on your boat stickers. There was always questions on how big or who has to have them and everything, so we just finally put it in. Kayaks and watercraft smaller than a canoe is not required a sticker, but everything else has to have a sticker. So if you have a kayak, am I correct? You don't have to get a sticker, because I know some of the members were buying stickers and others were saying no. So it was brought to me. So we, as a our committee meeting we had, we got that changed and amended it.
One thing I want to mention about that, though, is that you are all watercraft, kayaks, canoes, everything has to be membership. It has to be a member that lives here, a member, not necessarily live here, but a member of Lake Elbow owned to be able to be on the lake. What we don't want is we don't want people bringing in outside canoes, kayaks, and that with the whole zebra mussel risk. I mean, it's probably a matter of time before we get them, but we have been so fortunate to be one of the very few lakes in the area that doesn't have zebra mussels. And we, several years ago, we did a lot of research and a lot of work into that to ensure that we don't end up with them. So that's a big thing. And that takes community enforcement. It takes everybody in this room to keep your eyes out. If you see somebody, a bunch of kids pull in with a pickup with two canoes and or kayaks in the back and throw them in the lake and you don't know who they are, we need them. We need to have them get their kayaks out of there and leave. I mean, we just, it takes everybody to make that happen.
In that regard, it would be nice still for kayaks and other smaller watercraft if there was a sticker that was maybe just given to the members, a different colored sticker from the ones that we sell.
Yeah.
Because if I'm out on the water and I see a kayak and there's no sticker, I don't know whether it's a member in that kayak or personal watercraft.
We talked about it a lot. We had a committee that actually worked on this a lot. It's not that we can't bring that back up and rediscuss it,
look into that.
It was pretty split. I mean, it goes both ways. We could all, the biggest deal is somebody has to be a volunteer, has to be available to give out those stickers and maintain those stickers.
Greg's always available.
Greg gets a lot piled on him.
I'm happy to help people on this, of course. It was just, we're trying to find a balance, you know, because how many small watercraft does a person have? You have eight, you know. Anyway, we'll go further. I think that's a good recommendation.
Yep.
So anyway, sorry, Karen. I just wanted to make sure and take the opportunity to voice that, because it does take all of us to monitor that.
And the next big section, which has already been touched on, that was changed, was a maintenance building and equipment. Everything pretty much stayed the same far as storage, other than we took everything. Nothing inside of the maintenance building is personal now. It's all lake owned functions. We have a section up there for all the party stuff that we have bought in the pier. Ashley's, all her luau stuff is all in totes. Christmas is separated. We have Jim's 4th of July quartered off. We got the dredger place. Each equipment has a place. Like I said, that was touched on, and we're doing contracts to rent trailer parking up there, and the board is determined. I know the equipment was a big molehill to climb or a big hill to climb, that we have a set that we set members up that is authorized to drive the equipment. So if you need help with something, you can go to them members, and they can use the equipment if the job is appropriate. No, we're not going to dig you a new septic line, but if you need a load of dirt, then one of them members could get you a load of dirt to your house or so forth. That was the biggest one we had done. The next section was in the building codes in get my pages here. On storage sheds and carports, in the past, no metal storage sheds were ever allowed because they were the cheap ace. X company that went below, they'd fall over. You look now, like the Amish on 99, is that the highway? We were looking at a building and I said, oh, I love that walk up. And from a distance or even close, they look like wooden buildings, but they're all the new metal. So the board chose to approve metal sheds, but you have to still bring it to the board with the specs and everything else to get it approved.
Yeah, authorized upon board approval. That goes with metal buildings as far as like if you're building, wanting to build a shop or a building, you know, garage, you know, some of the newer metal buildings, you know, are really nice and they last forever. We did in the past, this rule was first put into place to keep the galvanized barn tin and that stuff out. So instead of it being a hard no, it's now, you know, come to the board. You got to bring it to the board anyway, but we've opened our minds up a little bit, I think, or opened up the minds, hopefully, of the community to allow them with approval.
And the last section that we worked on was section O, motorcycles, ATVs. And I think we got this right, but I'm just going to read the whole thing. Because before there was no writing, our rule said there was supposed to be no vehicles or anything at the
sediment pond.
Everything and everybody, I broke the rule. I took my golf cart up. Everybody here was breaking the rule. So it was like, let's rewrite the rule to make it maybe fair. All riding in Lake Elbe subdivision will be confined to the Lake Elbe Club roadways and the silt pond area west of the dam. Trail riding
west of the creek.
You got that changed up, right? Trail riding in the silt pond area is allowed. However, riders must limit noise and speed to respect this and safe travels at all times. Use of lake property for off-road activities is a privilege, not a right. Destructive behavior and or members' complaints could result in loss of the privilege. And entering these areas once diminishes the grantor of the easement of Lake Elbe Incorporated of any liabilities resulting in personal injury, loss or injury. And we kind of voted on that. We got that. That was the one that we were really working on. And it was, like I said, I got to correct the creek and that. You go up there and you hurt yourself, the lake is not responsible if, and adult supervision is what we agreed on for the, and most of the kids that go up there, I know Ashley's kids, Don, I've always seen an adult up there with them. So, yeah.
It's a privilege, not a right. Bad behavior, that privilege can be revoked.
And that's all the major ones that we had worked on. We went clear, like I said, 90% of grammar, and see, I already got a correction already. We got it too. And we're hopefully within the next 90 days to have everything completed and it on the website and hard copies printed. That's all I had to.
Thank you, Kara. All right. Next item we have, and this popped up kind of late, and but I want to touch on it today because while we have people here, while you guys are here in attendance, we've kind of shifted our focus off of insurance to property taxes. And I'm going to give some credit, as he left, Tom Hood played a big part of this, did a really nice job drawing up this letter. I'm not going to read the letter word for word, but I will touch on the bullet points so you guys kind of understand what it is we're trying to do. So basically, what we're doing is we're addressing Pottawatomie County for an immediate reassessment and valuation of our property taxes. This is not Lake Elbe Club. This is everybody in this room. This is you. This is your property taxes. And what we're doing is we're calling out some things, basically road and infrastructure. You know, we upkeep the streets, we build the streets, the sidewalks, curbs, that's all on us. Maintenance of the private sewage systems, we're not tied into any kind of a city or a municipality on our sewer systems. Maintenance of culverts and ditch work, installation of not only the roads, but speed limit signs, stop signs, et cetera. That's one that really triggers me when those stops, when that stop sign come up missing. And I went up there and realized, well, we really need two. We called up to Pott County and they said, nope, that's on you. And when we were talking about it at the board meeting, I think it was Jim says, well, I got wrote up for running that stop sign. So, you know, they won't supply the stop signs, but they'll write us a ticket for running them. So, you know, safety and environmental services, the snow removal and the ice, perfect day to talk about that. Operation maintenance of not only street lights, but fire hydrants. If we want a fire hydrant added out here, we have to pay for it. out of our pocket, whether it's a member building a new house that wants a fire hydrant close by, or whether we decide as a membership we need another fire hydrant. Currently, we have two, one on this side of the lake, right over here on the very first corner, and one on the other side of the lake across from Lewis's house.
Jan's house, too.
Is there one at Jan's, too? So we have three. Okay, well, that's good to know. See, we're safer already. But through this process, I did a little research, and Rural Water actually owns those fire hydrants, even though we probably paid to put them in. I know the one over there, when Curtis Henning built his house, he had to pay to put it in. But Rural Water owns them, and they do maintain them. They claim every year they come out and they run them, make sure they work. They said the ones over here, they just ran in December because they needed to run them for something. They needed water, I'm not sure. But they said they just ran those. So, you know, a little learning. But anyway, so that's one thing. Environmental stewardship, not only the maintenance and oversight that we do of the waterway, the creek, the dam, the spillway, the annual testing of the water for safety, not only for our benefit, but for those downstream, the dam integrity. So now we have to do a dam test every 3 years. We have to have an engineering firm that we pay for come out and do an inspection. We have to pay for maintenance and upkeep. If there's any changes that the dam, that the state deems necessary, we have to pay for that. This is all stuff that, you know, would fall in any other community in this area, would fall on the county or state, local municipalities. Lack of municipal natural gas benefits, which I didn't even realize this, but our property doesn't utilize natural gas because we're all on propane. But anomal conditions with natural gas, those, a lot of that's publicly funded through the property tax, which I wasn't aware of. So we're working on this still, but the letter isn't finalized. We got to clean it up just a little bit. But anyway, it's just recognizing this, asking for equity and taxation, comparing us, a comparative analysis, which compares us to other communities in the area like Timber Creek and some of the others that get all those things, you know, from the county or the municipality. And we're just asking for a fair assessment. So anyway, we do have a petition, and I will pass that around at intermission. It's very simple. Your name, signature, address, and date. And there is a comment column if you want to add something on there. It's optional. We really don't necessarily need the comments. Just if you're in support of this, we did run this by our attorney. He did proofread it and basically told us he felt like it was worth our time. He thought and so he's helping us do the approach the right way. I don't know about you guys, but personally, since we moved in our house 7 years ago, in the last 5 years, I've seen my property tax double. So it goes up 20-25% every year, you know, and we don't get anything, I mean, in my opinion, or much out of that from the county, because we do it ourselves. And every time we ask for something or we check on something, it's always, nope, you guys are on your own. So, you know, this isn't something we're trying to be crappy about. We are doing the right. We are doing it the right way. We would send a letter with the petition. We would wait for their response. Then we would probably attend a commissioner's meeting, or if they set up a special meeting, a few board members will attend on behalf of the lake, and hopefully come to some kind of an agreement where they give us some kind of a negotiation on and allow us some kind of consolation on our property taxes. That's the goal. So anyway, that's that piece. Anybody got any questions about that? That's kind of got thrown in here late. I will send a copy of the letter around with the petition. So if you want to read it, you know, or that, you know, so you kind of, I don't have enough copies to give everybody. We will have that letter posted once we get it finalized. Jim.
Yeah.
When you talked to that attorney, I know can it go the other way?
Meaning, could they raise them?
Yeah.
I suppose, you know, if they did, I would view it as retaliation.
I don't know how, you know, Zach and his school team this and that and everything else. Of course, the value of your home property or whatever, but is there a way that they could assess and make put some kind of a determination on the lake and value of the lake?
He has a point.
Yeah, that's came up in our discussions.
An example of what you're talking about, Jim, is docks around the lake. Right. You know, we kind of stirred the pot, and they came out and evaluated docks, and our overall taxes went up because of it.
Yeah, that's
so. You have a point for sure.
That's what I said to Dave the other day. I said, "Be careful what you ask for." because you might get it. And they may come in and do a reevaluation. I'm not worried about it because I just bought my house. So it's valued at what I paid for.
Right.
But there are other people who maybe haven't been reevaluated. They just came through. I don't see an upside to this. There's no way that the county legally can come in here and have property taxes for individual property owners. I've worked with counties.
They do it, but you do it all the time with individuals protesting their taxes.
Yeah, individually, you can go in and protest your taxes.
Internet trouble at Clubhouse caused issue with the recording. Board was taking nomination for 3 board seat openings. Please see actual minutes for nominations.
All right, we're going to go ahead and get rolling back here. Brent, are you ready? So board members, please hang around for just a few minutes afterwards so we can have a couple quick discussions. But so we're going to go ahead and get back going here. Nominations voting has been completed. We've tallied the nominations. And I'd like to announce our new board members for 2024 will be RJ, Karen, and Lori. So you guys did vote to keep them in office. Thank you. I'm going to tell you it's a pretty close run. So Spencer and Jesse, please stick around. We'll see you next year. Same date, same time, same back game. appreciate you guys. So with that, all I got. Anybody else have anything? Oh, you guys want to draw for that raffle, don't you? I want you to, because I want you to draw my name. This one? Oh, okay. I thought I lost one. I told you not to give them to me.
Shake it up.
So is it, I'm not drawing.
I'm not drawing.
You took all the things out of your mouth.